Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Michelle Mache. And hello, all those in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as Chat Room, also known as not just my co-pilots, but co-hosts. Kind of keep me humming along, keep me tech up to date with what's going on in the chat room and sound. I guess it's a part of my person too, right? Welcome guests. We've got some guests listening as well. And those of you listening by phone and, of course, the archives and iTunes, welcome to you as well. I always feel like we're all together because, you know, we get so much feedback about the people that listen to Awakenings Radio via the archives on iTunes or also on BTR. And they're right there with everyone, and I always get them emails stating, we wish we could listen live, but mostly they're at work, and some people are kind of out in the, even out in the field, out in the toolies, out in the country. And I have a couple of people that have emailed me that they have to actually go into town to listen to the show because they don't get the reception. I love that. I love that. I love internet radio that just reaches so far and wide. Okay, so of course at the top of the program for the first half of the show, we will be doing readings, dream interpretation. You want to call in with questions, you want to chat. That number is 347-539-5122. And please press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know that you want to chat, you want to get on air, you have a question. Hi, Tamara. Yeah. Also, I want to reiterate, I've stated it before, but we have amazing awake, aware people in the chat, and every now and then, they ask questions in the chat of me, but also for our guests. But sometimes I'll just get snippets of conversation or snippets of inspiration, inspired wisdom, and I just love it. So I'm also going to get to a couple email questions. Again, that number, if you would like to call in, 347-539-5122. Please press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know that you want to get on air. So now the idea, especially with the divine downloads from the guides, spiritual hierarchy, spirit, various oversouls, it was meant to get the info out, meant to live it. We're all meant to take it in, make it our own, and integrate it in our life in our own way, and then live it, pass it on, basically. Because there's also divine aspects of us, right? We're all connected here. So in the wonderful words of Gary Zukav, who I met years and years and years ago, I just did a workshop with him in Europe, and he said, right now I am at the front of the circle. We were in a big circle. And he said, I'm the one talking. But soon I will sit down and somebody else will be in the front and I'll be listening. And I love that. I love that. And he actually left that way and then walked off. It was very dramatic. It was really good. It was really good. And he was just a love, very... very down to earth and just really willing to share. So I love that sharing with all of us. The other thing, too, another way to share and, connect and share is to go to the Awakenings Radio page on Facebook. And you can either just, Google Awakenings Radio or Awakenings with Michelle Mache, or just, if you're on Facebook already, go to M-I-C-H-E-L-E, Mache, M-E-I-C-H-E, Michelle Mache. Go to that, and that's actually the radio page. And please feel free to post your happenings, you know, your insights, your understanding, maybe some of the work that you do, some of your insights, videos. I mean, it's really a community page. I post as well. Other people do. Of course, we post, you know, the guests that are coming on the program. Getting a little sip of my decaf Americano. But I'd love to see more community access, because one of the things about the energy of the new emerging consciousness, the focus, the consciousness of the new emerging consciousness, is more of the idea of sharing, you know. And how many of us have been in a workshop or something and somebody, you know, the facilitator's talking, or maybe you're on a panel and we're just listening. This is why I'm so much more into the interaction. I love people to call in. Even in my workshops and seminars that I do, Tamara's been in a few, who's in the chat room. I'm always saying, what do you think, or any questions, or what, because everyone's insights are really important. It's time now. You know, that's what being the messenger is all about, the Messiah. It's individual message, living your individual message, your individual, you know, song or verse in the song, verse in the universe, you know, with one big song. And so we've got all these verses, not just to feel it and know it inside or journal it, but actually to speak it, you know, write it, speak it, get it into manifested form. If it stays in the head, it's not a manifested form. There has to be a denser physicality of it. And then Tamara's putting, yes, yes, this is time for interaction. That is how you create right relationship, is relational. Ooh, I love that. We are meant to be relational. Ooh, really good point, Tamara. Yeah, because if we don't share, if we don't speak up, whether somebody agrees or not agrees, but as Tamara's pointing out in the chat, this is how you find others of resonance. You have to voice it. It's like listening to music. If you don't listen to your music at an audible level, in other words, for other people to hear, if you don't turn up the volume, someone can't overhear your music and say, hey, I like that song too, or I like that writer, or I like that group. So if we keep everything inside, yeah, we still connect with each other because everything is vibrational. We still find those resonances. You still are drawn to those people and situations that resonate, and they're still you know, drawn to you as well. However, the speaking it is feeling it and then speaking it. Feeling it and then speaking it are the first forms of manifested form. So in that feeling or that vibration that then becomes a tone or something that's audible, we actually do align ourselves through what is audible, or through the tone, through the vibration. So yeah, kind of time to get out of the head a bit and live more. It's really coming more from the heart chakra, which is that first brain. So the heart chakra works on resonance. Our brain works on resonance as well, but it also has the little figure things out. It's a computer. Same as our mind. I mean, our mind is the screen in the database, right? You know, our inner mind or focus, but which is all good. But when you put that feeling tone to it, when you put the vibrational quality to it, then you start tapping into your higher wisdom, higher insight. You start going actually also, you know, non-local. We don't get out of the local mind or local experience, but through vibration. Oh, good. I see lots of people getting on in line. Callers, those of you that are calling in, and again, that number is 347-539-5122. Please remember to press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know that you'd like to get on air. Tamara's putting in, speaking, we inspire each other to more action and more creativity. Good point, because speaking implies action. There's an intention. There's a again, tonality, intention. That comes about. You're claiming it more, even though sometimes people speak about something, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's the next level of just thinking it, because from the speaking, it's implying more action. All right. So I want to, before we get to a couple of email questions, and we're going to get to the phone lines, because I love when people, I love the interaction. I love the interaction in the chat. I love the interaction on the switchboard. And also, by the way, speaking of interaction, connect with me also on Twitter. It's Michelle Mache. So Facebook, Twitter. Of course, I got LinkedIn also, but I don't really interact there. But just love to connect more. Okay. So the second half of our program, we are going to have I'm really kind of excited for this woman to come on. We're going to be talking to Rashmi Kilnani, who is a metaphysical teacher. She's also the executive producer and one of the speakers in a new documentary film that's coming out called I, God, which is featuring spiritual authors, heads of various religious denominations, and people at all levels of soul journeying. Oh, I should have been in that. Soul journey. Anyway, I, God is being produced by Robert Friedman and Neil Donald Walsh. Familiar name there, and directed by Jonathan Friedman. So we'll be finding out about what she is doing and talking about her books as well as The Divine Feminine. Her website, if you want to peek, she has two websites, rashmikilnani.com, RASHMIKHILNANI.com, or Reiki -energy-mastery.com. So we're going to be diving in with her and look forward to that. Well-rounded, I like it. Looks like a good guest. So stick around for that as well. And if you can't, make sure you catch it in the archives. Okay, now I want to pick a question. Oh, we have something. Somebody's asking about Doris Ann. Let's see, Doris Ann. Specific questions like that, it's really better to call in so I can really zone in to the particular dynamics of the relationship. And this person's saying they're not able to call in at the live show, but would love to ask Michelle if she sees this person in relations in the future. Well, I see there's a friendship there. There seems to be a little bit of an undertow of a power struggle. I feel like there might be part of a group that you're involved in or maybe even near you. So one thing is when people ask, am I going to be in relationship? Honestly, we're in relationship to everything and everyone all the time. In fact, you know, Tamara put in the chat, it's relational. We are here to be relational. So really when you're asking, you've got to be very specific with the universe and also the guides or the oversouls, or when you're getting any kind of reading, because our own divine nature is a bit of a trickster to get us unserious. So is it a love relationship, a sex relationship, sexual relationship, a marriage relationship, a boyfriend-girlfriend, a girlfriend-girlfriend, boyfriend-boyfriend? Is it going to be a collegial? Is it going to be a business? So you really have to qualify, because as I'm sure many of you have had this experience, you can have an amazing interchange with somebody, a quote-unquote stranger, as we might call it on the earth plane. You're in relationship to the checker at the market, you know, the gas station attendant, if you're lucky enough to have a full serve in your area anymore, whatever, you know, you're at the cafe, the barista, you know, you are in relationship. Number one, we're in relationship all the time. We're never not out of relationship to everything and everyone. But to qualify it, what kind of relationship are you wanting? Because relationship is all about energy. It's a juxtaposition of energy, integrating, intermingling, exchanging. We're always exchanging energy. The type of relationship will tell you what type of energy or what quality of energy, what will the tone of the energy be. So, you know, if I'm asking about a colleague or a business meeting, or I'm going, you know, the other week I had a meeting actually for a television program in regards to spirituality. So that tells me what's that container going to be like. We're not going to be talking, we might touch on going to the beach, but we're not going to sit there and talk about music for a half hour or, you know, fine foods or fine dining or, you know, raw foods or my juicing that I do. We might touch on that, but the tone, the caliber, the quality, the type of energy is of a different nature. So just not only when you're, you know, asking any reader when you guys are mailing in or calling in, or when you're asking for yourself, when you're praying or wanting something, because otherwise you'll get some wonderful relationships, but what is the type of relationship that you want? And I also find it creates accountability for us that we have to kind of say what it is that we really want. Okay, so go on to one more email question, and then we'll get to the phone lines. And again, for reading or comment, 347-539-5122, and please press 1 on the keypad to let me know that you want to get on air. All right, so Ken is writing, I've been listening to your podcast for a few weeks. I have a question and no one to ask. I myself am very connected, awake, aware, conscious. I am, and I am described as a seer. But for me, nothing ever works. Everything from when I meet a woman to every once in a while I get to participate in my passion. When I do, it actually feels like there is someone purposely causing everything to go wrong. I get this in a broad, generic question, but if you have an idea I haven't got to yet, that would be nice. Gratitude for you being here, helping souls along. Thank you for your time and the reading. You're very welcome. Very often I find this is why I did the 5-step emotional clearing process, CD, the repatterning. I've done a lot of training in that and research, shifting our resonance, the caliber of energy that we have, the quality of energy. Very often we have a part of ourselves that is somehow blocking ourselves, or something is not quite in alignment, so we're creating a different experience in our life. Not that I don't believe in it. I'm very open-minded. However, when I did depossession work and worked with people that said they had curses and this and that on them, when I really got in their energy field, when I really got into them psychically and from a healing standpoint or shamanic standpoint, it usually was something they believed or took on, you know, on themselves, or an aspect of themselves, maybe projected out. Or not to say people don't wish us ill will sometimes, you know, or have quote-unquote bad or quote-unquote negative thoughts towards us. You know, again, but connecting into that oneness, you move out of that polarity plane. The polarity plane, it's a wonderful game, but it can be tricky because it opens us up to the opposite, whatever that opposite is. So let's see what's happening. Kenny, let's see what's happening with him. Sometimes it's just clearing something. You know, I'm not getting something. You know, years ago I worked with, a wonderful client referred me to her brother. Her brother referred her brother to me. And he was a very successful trader, also was an author. And all of a sudden he just started started opening up more intuitively as well. And all of a sudden he just started having this energy drain, just a drain on energy. And that even manifested in his finances. He was getting sick all the time, or kind of sickly. And we went back, we did some regression work, and we actually went to a past life where let me qualify this. He was always helping everyone, helping out the family, helping out friends, financially, just helping others, over-helping, let's just say that, over-compensating. And so when we went back, we found that he'd had a twin that had died. It was kind of, I can't remember the whole story, but I do remember this whole thing of him trying to help him, and the twin had died, and he said, I'm never, and they made this goal, this vow. This is why it's important to clear our vows and agreements if they're no longer appropriate, which, by the way, this weekend and next weekend I'm doing a workshop on that, Soul Path workshop on clearing the soul contracts with love. So if you can email me at awakenings@selfandlight.com if you want some information on that, or, again, go to the Facebook page. So once we released that, once he got in touch with that being, again, that was attached to him, the being was literally attached and he could feel it. And there was some things going on, that's right now, as we're coming back to his shoulder, was kind of starting to curve in, and that's where his brother, his twin, was, you know, hampering him, was stuck. And we cleared that. It's interesting, he got up in the session, he was just upright, walking upright, moved his shoulders back, had all this space. And then later, he had talked to his mother, and she was astounded, because it turned out that he was also a twin, but the twin had died in the womb. And it was some kind of twin where there's a phantom twin, I don't remember, that's something that's there, and then it leaves. And he immediately, energy shifted, no more drain. He also, because we have to bring it to the practical level, it's like no more overgiving, you know, of this drain, you know, that I'll never leave you and I'm always there to give you the energy or help you move, go on. And completely turned his life around. So why I'm bringing that up is sometimes it is something like that or some thought process that we have. Also, Ken, I'm going to be very aware or cautious when saying nothing, never and nothing ever works. So I would definitely say repatterning. Maybe we'll get my CD, 5-Step Emotional Clearing Process. You can call for a private as well. You know, it's up to you. But and there's other tools. But really, you know, you can even go back and see, when is this nothing ever works for me? What's that about? Because sometimes when we have those beliefs, we've actually created a vow or a decision about that, or like a script. We also call it scripting. And that script is so ingrained that now we're running that script. You know, it's like for a movie or a screenplay, you've got this script. Oh, you know, this is what you do, or soap opera. You know, you're the one that always gets left. And so you're playing that script and reinforcing it, when you can edit it, delete it, write a new, you know, scene, paragraph, or delete the whole thing. So that's telling me something's running, there's a script running, but for me, nothing ever works. You see that for me? So not for everybody else, but for me. So there is something I feel that you're perhaps unwittingly, unknowingly holding on to and perpetuating, and perhaps some healing around that will move you out of that space. Because I've had my own run of bad luck. You guys know, with my thyroid issue happened, then I got in the car accident just as everything was going. So I could say, oh, this always happens to me, or for a year. You know, so we can get in those ruts, and unfortunately, what sticks for us, what takes hold, or vows, decisions, agreements, scripts, if you will, that are made in a heightened state or energized state, a highly charged state of expression and awareness. So trauma or exhilaration sticks something. Trying to change or make decisions in a beta state doesn't do anything. There's just not enough juice there. So I'm sensing some trauma. Something went on and went on too long, and now it's entrained or ingrained. Okay, let's get to callers on air. Again, that number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad to get on air. Hello, 267-285. Welcome to Awakenings Radio.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy I got through. I didn't get through last week, Michelle. I didn't get through.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I know we had.
No,
because
you're
don't
so
know,
popular.
Oh, no.
No, I know. Everyone loves the show as much as I do, so it was okay. I'll just call in again. But
I'm glad
I'm
you
so
called
happy
in again.
I got through. Yes, this is Kathy. Mm. And
I was going to ask. Yes.
Yes. My question for you is, I've been having thoughts of moving, and I wanted to see if you saw me moving, so when, because I just want to make sure that okay. If I make the decision and take the steps, that it'll be the right steps.
Well, it looks good. And it looks like you're wanting also more emotional fulfillment. You're wanting not only just to stretch out or expand out more, but more deeper meaningful lifestyle, deeper meaningful relationship or relationships. And somehow it's going to nurture you on a deeper level, a place that you can feel like, this is really me. Is your place not right now, either you've outgrown it or it's not so much suiting you?
I've outgrown it on so many levels, and it's just not suiting me. And plus, you know the situation with my mother. She's living with me. And that I've been trying to help her find a place, and things have been falling through. So the idea was I could maybe have her stay there and then I just move instead of her move. But that's what I was saying. I didn't know if that would be a good decision because I don't want to move because I'm trying to get away from something. You know what I mean? Like whatever it is.
Let's reframe that. So if you can move, if it fits in, in other words, if it's just
right.
To get not confronting, but you're thinking of moving anyway, you want to move,
right.
You want a different space. Yeah,
right.
So now things aren't so black and white. So if it fits into the whole, picture, if it's like, okay, I don't want to confront this, or I don't want to bring anything up, that's a different thing. But it feels like you're wanting, even to walk, are you not able to walk around where you're at now?
A little bit, but it's not,
not real very pretty or something, not real walkable or something.
Yeah, pretty much, right.
Yeah, because I'm seeing more trees and shrubbery around. I'm seeing a little more neighborhoody, still city, but I feel like there's either a park nearby or some place to walk where it's pretty or the street's pretty. I feel like you're going to want to walk more, if that makes sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Okay, so let's see. Well, when I ask what's the best perspective, I'm definitely getting a yes. I'm not seeing immediate, so I don't know if it's going to take a while to find something. It looks like there's more energy that you're putting into it in August. And I would say I'm kind of feeling somewhere between August and October. Just depends on, September looks really well. So you're still trying to make the decision also, I think.
Yeah, I think
right?
I know, as you said, it's something that I definitely want to do and I've wanted to do before my mother even moved in. I just want to make sure it's going to be the right thing to do because it's not just me, it's my daughter as well, and I don't want, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see. For her. Well, yeah, she's got a little Dora the Explorer energy. She likes to explore. So I think new places would be good for her and some place to walk or go to. Let's go, Mom. Why am I getting museums around you, or camp or something?
Oh, my God. I had a reading with you a couple of months ago, and you brought that up. You kept saying something to do with museum and walking around and being with my daughter. You brought that up before. And I was like, because I live in Philadelphia, so I do the museum area is not too far from where I'm living at right now. So, but you brought that up before.
Ah, okay. I did. Okay. So I guess you're going to be going. It could also be, out and about with the looking at places also.
Okay.
But you're moving. You guys are both moving into more of a kind of a, I call it restless, antsy time, little divine tickle, divine,
that's how I feel, very, I say unsettled, but it's that feeling like, okay, something is going on, something is, and I find myself thinking about moving more and more and more and more, and I'm like, should I do this? Because I tend to be more of a thinker first, and then I do, as opposed to just jumping
good.
In.
That's good. Thinking's good. Thinking's good. I'm not for jump. You can, you know, you can go off the diving board, but you still got to line up to do the dive. You know.
Exactly. Right.
No, because I feel like this energy, you want to, I don't know, there feels like there is some new stuff coming in. Like, I got to go here, or see, check this out, the museum, go to the little cafe, go to the bookstore, went to the market, I can walk. I just see you much more active, and where you're at now, not so much. By the way, just make sure your name is off the lease.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Did that just come through?
That's not the guy. That's, I don't know if that was, it just came out like a flash, or that's my, that's my practical personality coming through.
No, because the situation was, I had already had a conversation with my landlord, and he said, you know, if you want to get out of your lease early, you would just need someone to come in and take it over. And I said, okay. And
perfect.
Then I started thinking about my mom, and I said, okay, well, maybe this will work for her. You know, it'll give her a place, and then I can move into someplace bigger. Because as I said in the beginning, I have outgrown. Like, I need more space. It's just not working for me anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. More space, and I do see the other place lighter. There's more light coming in. There's a big window. It's kind of like a golden light. And hardwood floors. You have carpeting
oh
right now, right?
Yes.
Because I see hardwood floors. Huh?
That's all I've been talking about is the next place I go to is going to have hardwood floors because I have
hardwood
carpet
floors
throughout my apartment and it's driving me crazy.
Yeah, you're going to have hardwood floors. I see it. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so it's, and it will be here where I'm living, in the city that I'm living in. Is that what you feel? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be another city. So I don't feel far. I don't feel like you're moving state or something. It's not, it could be like a little town over or something, or different little burb, you know, perhaps.
Okay. Right.
It's not right where you're at. I feel like there's a little bit of a drive. And I do hear you wondering, oh, am I going to be able to do it? There's trees around.
Awesome.
There's more greenery. Yeah.
Okay.
And the hardwood floors.
Yes, that's important. Okay, so it could be sometime, maybe like the end of this year, sometime next year, maybe.
Yeah, I don't feel it's immediate, but I mean, I feel you could do. Let's see, I am hearing you could do it this year, of like a kind of fallish.
Okay.
If you really, because I do hear like some concern, like, oh, am I going to be able to make it? Am I going to be able to do this? And
right.
I do feel, you know, somehow the money is going to be even more abundant at the other place. Because you're
really
going to be expanding. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, because that's always a major concern for me anytime I do anything. Is money going to be there? Am I going to be able to do this, you know?
Yeah, and you may be doing something else on the side. I don't know. There's a lot coming through for you, new stuff, and I feel like the new environment is going to help support that. You know, sometimes, you know, even if it's $25, $50 extra, we'd, oh, my God, I don't know if I can do it. And then all of a sudden, we're doing it. And so our consciousness shifts, like, oh, I did it. Okay, I have more. I'm doing more. So I am feeling more of an expansion for you.
Okay.
But you'll be able to afford it.
Okay, and everything, because I'm always worried about it, make sure everything turns out for everybody, not just me, my daughter, my mom, you know, everything just works out.
Well, your daughter's fine. She's ready to go. Someplace new, cool, more stuff
to
do.
She keeps saying to me, are we moving?
Yeah.
What are we doing today? That's exactly how she is. Yes,
she's already there. She's like, and the rest. God love your family. There's a wonderful connection, but you do need to expand. You need some space.
Okay.
So you can attract or draw in that space, just, you know, some playmates for yourself.
Right. Okay.
You
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's time.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kathy,
that
for
was,
calling
you
in.
Always confirm.
Thanks.
I love you so much. Thank
that's
you so
good.
Much.
I was so funny when I'm seeing the hardwood floors. I'm like, oh.
Yes, because
nice,
I was like, I
can see the light coming
in.
One particular window, too, and I can see a little table there. There's some. I can see kind of greenery with trees and the light right on the hardwood floors.
awesome. That is awesome. Because you don't know. If I could stop people on the street and say, the next place I'm getting, because that is like my big thing. So that's so funny you said that.
Hold to that. You'll get it. You'll get it.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, Keith.
You're welcome.
You too. Bye. Okay, callers, the number is 347-539-5122 if you'd like to get on the air. I do see some people in the queue, but I'm not seeing, you're not pressing 1. So let me know if you want to get on air by pressing 1. Hi, 808-551, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, this is Samantha.
Hi, Samantha.
Hello.
Welcome. Hi.
I just wanted to first say thank you for the wonderful podcast. My question is, I often feel like I stay in or hold on to romantic relationships for too long. So I was wondering if I'm doing that right now or if my current relationship is kind of more long term.
Okay. Well, first thing I want to say is, what do you mean by too long? Like, why should you move on?
Well,
why are you feeling you need to move on?
Well, we're in a long distance relationship, and there's been some problems, like an incident last year.
Yeah, I feel like there's some thoughts of maybe this person's not, what's the word, faithful? Cheating,
yeah,
fidelity
yeah.
thing. Yeah, that's what
yeah.
I feel. Yeah.
That it
and
happened
there
one time, and he told me immediately. So it's just been trying to build back the trust.
Yeah. Did he say what? I think, you know, it's really hard. I almost feel like he doesn't want to lose you, but I feel like you have very strict requirements that might be challenging in a long-term or a long-distance relationship.
Yeah.
Now, does this individual have dark... There's a guy with dark hair around you. Does he have dark hair?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so I'm talking... It is him then. But I don't feel you've been seeing him that long either, right?
It's 2 years.
Oh, it is 2 years. Who was the... Okay, 2 years long distance. What happened... Because I keep hearing 6 months. What happened 6 months ago? Is that when the affair happened?
That's basically when it happened, yeah.
That's why. Okay, because I kept hearing 6 months, 6 months. Go to 6 months. Okay. So that's when the affair happened. Now, how come I'm not seeing any concrete plans to live together, live closer?
Well, he's in grad school for 2 more years.
Oh, no wonder. Okay, because I'm kind of seeing more of the same.
Yeah.
And you're... Go ahead.
Because it is long distance, so it's so hard to even tell if it's working because we're not together.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I should just hold on for 2 more years or what, you know.
Whew, that's a long time for what you want.
Yeah.
It's working for what it is, but is it working for what you want? It's working because you're dating, you know, you're in a romantic relationship. But so it's there, but is it working in the way that you want it? And I'm kind of feeling no. And I know my sense is psychically you're obviously happy that he's in grad school or doing well, but there's also some resentment there, like, come on, get on with it, you know, because you're ready I feel you're ready for a more consistent type relationship, day-to-day stuff, you know. Here's what the higher self is saying. Here it is.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. When are you going to own up to your own needs and what you really want? So you know what the soul lesson is, that you have a picture, you have an image of what it is that you want, and you keep settling for, you know, which is okay, every now and then you know, I don't want to call it compromise or settle, whatever, you know, you try new things, but you need, what I really want you to do is I want you to do two things. I want you to journal. I want you to do it today, not tomorrow, the next day. I want you to do it today. I want you to write out your vision of what it is that you really, what do you envision, envisage, what do you imagine, you know, in the fairy tale? What do you want? What's the lifestyle you want to live with your mate, your guy, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go there. I want you to uncensor, because no one's watching but you, I want you to fully get into it, what it is that you really, deep, down in your heart, on a soul level,
mm-hmm.
no one's peeking over your shoulder, what it is that you really want.
Okay.
Then what I want you to do, you put that to the side, and then I want you to do what we call fantasy reality script. I want you to write the fantasy of what you want with this guy that you're with now. Oh, he calls me regularly. Oh, you know, he, even if the fantasy, oh, he decides to leave grad school and get another job and we live together. Whatever your fantasy is that you're afraid to
mm-hmm.
say to him or anybody else, I want you to write that fully and uncensored. And then I want you to write the reality script. What's the reality of the situation?
Okay.
And to do that all with non-judgment. What will happen in your mind, once you do that, there will be an inner process that happens in your mind that begins to sort through what's actually going. Because a lot of times what keeps the projection in place is, you know, projection's not so bad, or not, and fantasy isn't bad. Fantasizing isn't, you know, bad. I mean, that's where the daydream comes from.
Mm-hmm.
However, when we live from that space, if we don't check in, so the fantasy is the infinite mind. It's, you know, it's very right brain. And then the left brain, you know, the fantasy says, I have a house in the south of France, and I have, you know, a boat that I go to, you know, I drive to get the fresh fish and the cappuccino, you know, whatever. it's all out there. And you need to allow that. But then the reality
right.
says, I live in Pacoima, you know, and I work in a little market. That's not bad, but that's reality. And so then that gets the mind, those two parts of the mind together, and two parts of the brain together,
mm-hmm.
saying, okay, how far am I from this fantasy? Where am I in the reality? And you know, how can I bring that fantasy into my everyday living, into my reality? But yeah, your guides are saying, and the higher self, very lovingly, the higher self, the soul self, is reaching out to embrace you.
Okay.
You can lean back into that part of you. Wants to cradle you and say, how much longer are you
mm-hmm.
not going to do what it is you really want to do?
Okay.
not to wait for someone to turn things around.
Yeah.
That's a great gift, to be able to wait and go for, and the potential and see. But when we,
mm-hmm.
but at some point we have to go, God, I really know how to do that. You know, in an urgency, I can do that. You know, and I can be very understanding, and I can be very compassionate or forgive and move on. I can, you know, allow someone to do their life and kind of compromise and wait. But to live in that space all the time, once you already learned how to do it, you know how to do that.
Yeah.
So your guides, as well as the higher self, are lovingly kind of nudging you a little bit here.
Okay, that's funny. It makes sense, though.
Yeah? Does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Lovingly,
okay.
though. You know,
yeah.
it's you know, all needs to be done lovingly.
Yeah.
You know,
I definitely.
God
always,
is not.
I feel like I always wait. I'm always hesitant.
Yeah.
And always.
Yeah.
Kind of put myself last, sort of.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying. So that can be good. The ability to do that can be very admirable, but to live in that space, not anymore, not so much.
Right. Okay.
So try that, and let us know how you're doing. Call back, even call back next week, because hopefully you'll have done that.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that journaling.
And then, Samantha, let whatever comes up just come up, and you might have to do more journaling. There might be quite a bit of emotions that come up from sadness, loss, anger. You know, I don't want to put thoughts in your head, but there may be, and that's natural. It's kind of like a little, that process is like a little milkshake. You know, you just shake it, you know, or you stir the pot a little bit. So some things that are underneath, I like to look at the big stew, our conscious, you know, local consciousness, the stew of it, some stuff may come up from the subconscious with that. You're ready to, and it's okay to not wait, not want to wait. It's okay to not just envision, but actually want what you want.
Go for it. Yeah.
Go for it, yeah.
Okay,
and
thank
I don't
you
think
so
it's
going
to be a long. I don't think it's going to be a long time for you either.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank
Much peace.
You. You too.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, beautiful energy, beautiful souls. Ah, Todd put, when you focus on what you want consistently, you will have it. Yeah, yeah, but there's also soul timing. You know, we've got divine right timing. And sometimes we are learning lessons. I've seen people that I've worked with that get things very easily, and then all of a sudden they go into a patch where they're not, things aren't easily coming to them because they're having to learn other things, patience, or learn to go deeper, compassion. Maybe they've been judging other people that have gotten things very quickly or not so quickly or easily, so now they have the chance to experience compassion. And we call it learning lessons, but it's also just kind of evening things out, really balancing. You know, that's one side is experienced so that another side can then be experienced as well. All right, wonderful listeners. Todd put, like my life. Yeah, we all have our little learning lessons, our cycles. That's why I like to, when I do readings, I read also the cycles because sometimes it's not what we're doing. It's the cycle that we're in that's saying, no, not right now. You're working on something else. The soul is like, you know, it's only us on the ego level, right, the personality level that's challenged. The soul is like, yippee. Oh, I get to experience delay. I get to learn compassion. Yippee. Oh, this is fun. I get to experience this. The soul's happy as a clam. It's the constructed ego that is perceiving something is wrong or there's pain or discomfort. We are going to be bringing our guest on, and as with all guests, you are welcome to call in with your questions that are relevant to the guest and the topic that we're focusing on with our guest today. As I had spoke earlier today at the top of the program, letting you know a little bit about Rashmi, we'll get a little bit more into her, dive more into her wonderful gifts and her focus. For those of you that are joining us now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest that's coming up. Rashmi Kilnani is an internationally known healer, teacher, lecturer, author, artist, and television personality. She's in the forefront in bringing the ancient mystery school teachings of Egypt, India, Tibet, and China, as well as the teachings of the Essenes into current time and making these wisdoms simple and accessible to people at all levels of soul journeying. She's been on numerous national and international radio and television shows, and she's the executive producer of a new documentary film, I, God. I, God is being produced by Robert Friedman and Neil Donald Walsh and is also being directed by Jonathan Friedman. This film features many spiritual authors, heads of various religious denominations, and peoples of all levels of soul journeying. Rashmi is also the author of The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, and Buddha Speaks, To the Buddha Nature Within. Her most recent book is Shiva Speaks, Conversations with Maha Avatar Babaji. I want to give a warm welcome to Rashmi. Hello, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. How
Rashmi?
Are you? Can you hear me?
I'm doing wonderful. I can, Rashmi. Thank you so much. Am I pronouncing the name correctly? Rashmi?
Yeah, it's Rashmi, like rush me, don't rush me.
Don't rush me. Okay, rush me. Okay. Rush me. I want that, rush me. Looking over your notes, because I'm a big, or used to be, student of the Essenes and the Essene interpretation of the Bible as well. So happy to have you on the program with us. And
thank you so much for inviting me. A big hello from the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia.
Ah, that's okay. And Tamara in the chat is saying hello, as well as others in the chat as well. Boy, so much to dive into with you. I want to touch a little bit about something I read that you had suggested or proposed, if you can touch on this more, that meditation unlocks our Christ consciousness. Can you touch on that further?
Yeah, well, when we go into the within energy, which is where everything comes from, we tap the nothingness energy, which the scientists call the black hole. It's the void energy. It's the total peace and silence energy. And that is the womb from which all things spring forth. And so from the nothingness comes the everythingness. And unless we plug and reconnect strongly to that bedrock of our reality, we start going through a lot of suffering and chaos, confusion, and so on. So that's what meditation helps us to do, is to connect to that nothingness space, to that deep silence, the deep wisdom within, from within which the soft voice of the heart can be heard, and we can then have an experiential understanding of the oneness of the unified field, as opposed to just an intellectual understanding that many have, but that's not good enough anymore.
No, that was going to be my next. With so much going on, you really... I think, the transpersonal work, self-development, meditation, maybe in the past were kind of a luxury, but now it's like a necessity. You know, I mean, you could say I love doing this or I love this life, so I feel now it's like just with the energetic changes and shifts that are taking place, it's a requirement. I don't know your thought on that.
Absolutely. And, meditation doesn't have to be cross-legged sitting in Chin Mudra and doing some form of technique. It can be whatever helps everybody to individually calm down, slow down as things begin to speed up, and to connect to this vertical plane, which is our energy that from the heart, connecting to the heart of the earth and the heart of the cosmos. That's our vertical plane. And just to connect to that pranic energy that connects all our chakras in a straight line and, to our heaven and earth energy within us. And as we do that, it can be really simple through chanting or toning or being in nature or connecting to the animals and the children or being wholehearted about painting, singing, dancing, walking, whatever it may be, where the mind can begin to calm down and merge into the energy of the heart. And this integration of mind and heart is what's going to happen now, is happening as we speak for everybody. So it's much better to go with the energy of the flow as against it. And my first book, The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, is very much about the decoding of energy mastery for the planet and this energy of the Divine Feminine that's awakening within the hearts of men and women. And it's a massive significance in this new wake-up cycle, this new golden age that's dawning in the hearts of men and women.
And Rashmi, what would you say your first awakening was that brought you to more of a conscious path, or maybe you came in this way, but what was the recollection for you?
Well, it's an ongoing journey, and there are so many recollection points that happen that you know, connect to the manifest many lifetimes and so on. But that unmanifest knowingness was always kind of there since I was born. And my first 6 years were in Egypt, Cairo, playing by the sands of the Great Pyramids of Giza, and I used to talk to this cow in the sky. And my mother told me this many times, and this was the goddess Hathor, who's the ancient Egyptian goddess of love and so on.
Oh, Hathor,
but then I
yes.
also lived in India, you know. When I was six, I went back to India. Then I lived in England and went to Sunday school and understood the amazing teachings of Jesus. And then I went on to becoming one of the major, most Reiki teachers on the planet, teaching Reiki masters across the globe. And many came to London that were healers and teachers and had centers across the globe. So one of my roles is to work with the shepherds, and this is not an egotistical thing. It's to do with each one of us has a different role. And my role is to help shift the shepherds, because it's time for everyone to become a shepherd now.
Yes. I just spoke about that at the top of the program before you came on air, that everyone is their own messiah, their own messenger, and they need to, you know, to speak, to share, to move, you know, forward with their role. Do you, Rashmi, do you, well, two questions. Do you see more people doing that, moving in with their role, their purpose?
Definitely. I see that across the globe. I live in three continents and travel nonstop. I've sold everything I have and put everything on the line for being an ambassadress of the raising of consciousness on the planet. And as I do this, I meet so many. I mean, so many of the radio show hosts across the globe, so many of the spiritual filmmakers, so many of the healers and teachers that I've been teaching through the many, many years of working with 20 modalities of energy medicine and various streams of Reiki energy mastery. So it's just on the increase constantly. And just normal people, I find, tend to sometimes get it faster than everybody else, you know, that are simple, that are grounded, that are practicing the sharing, the loving, the giving, the receiving, as opposed to just understanding it from a whole load of seminars and books.
They're that conscious, yeah. Well, the grass has been, you know, tilled and fertilized, you know, it's from those that have gone on before. And how do you help, how are you helping the shepherders? How are you helping those with their roles?
Well, a lot of this is done through holding frequency of the heart. So when I was asked by Babaji, who's just an aspect of my own higher self, I don't see all the great beings as being separate to me. They are me, and everything is me. So that's what the meaning of Om Namah Shivaya. And I began channeling the Ascended Masters and the angelic realms and so on. And it just was natural, and I was pretty psychic intuitive since I was little as well. So these gifts are going to come to every single one of us. Just some of us are pioneers. And when we be that frequency, when we hold that frequency, as I've just shared, you know, not many I know on the planet are, you know, being homeless, and you know, and that doesn't mean I'm on the street. It means that I get to still be a spiritual princess, because we can, you know, we can. It's time to integrate all the different worlds, and through my radio shows, and through making spiritual film, and through channeling three major books very quickly in current time, The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart. Even just hearing that title can shift people, because many are not yet connected to their hearts and so on. So there are many, many ways in which it's been done, you know, but I do get to work with spiritual leaders across the globe. And it does, you know, many of them may be great messengers, but they still need a higher frequency of heart opening, which is not done out of free will, you know. It's done within free will and the higher good.
And you touched on the documentary film. You have one coming out, iGod. Can you share a bit about that project with us?
Well, Babaji asked me to come to America and make spiritual film, and I met Woody Allen in London, and I thought maybe I'd be making the film with him. But then I came to the States, and my publisher asked me if I would like to invest and be part of this film, I, God, and also be one of the speakers in it. And I suddenly found my name in a long list of New York best-selling authors, and my book had not even come out yet. So this is how the divine works, you know. It when the energy is right, it works. It's not like we have to push and pull and say, oh, well, I'm going to be a channel, I'm going to be an author, I'm going to be this and that. When you're working for spirit, these things just happen, and you can't push and pull them.
So true.
But it's going to start happening for so many of us. And so that's what happened, and then I was behind the camera with a lot of the spiritual leaders asking the five questions on God that Neil Donald Walsh had, you know, come up with. And unfortunately, the film has taken a long time. Neil is very busy, and he needs to complete the narration. But as soon as he does that, you know, it will be out. But as far as Babaji was concerned, who's the Christ Yogi, and as I say, part of the Om Namah Shivaya energy, which is the oneness energy, and avatar is a direct emanation of source that comes down in a body not born of a woman to for service. So he asked me to come and work on three books, which just happened instantaneously almost and effortlessly. And these books have all gone mainstream. And this time I'm here for Shipper Speaks. It's an e-book because my publisher finds it difficult to publish so many books one after the other. But it will be out as a hard book as well. And so these are major archetypal energies, the Shiva energy, the Christ Yogi, Christ Consciousness energy, the Divine Mother energy, the Heart energy, and the Buddha wisdom within each and every one of us, and the film. So it was all like part of the same thing to show unity consciousness and help people to come into this unity consciousness. So I'm sure the film will be completed when it's meant to be completed, and that's not really up to me. But I have put everything on the line for these things to happen because my heart and the divine guidance within are guiding me moment to moment.
And one question from our listeners is, you know, how do you know to trust your divine guidance, as you call it?
Well, I think just telling my story right now should help people to understand that, as I said, we can't push and pull. So the mind will say, oh, I need to, you know, channel a book, and it's not going to happen, you know, or it'll happen and nothing will happen with that. So, you know, these are not things you just suddenly decide to be self-important and get out there and do something. When it's guidance, then synchronicity happens. I didn't know who Robert Friedman was. I didn't know who Neil Donald Walsh was, except that I'd read a part of his book. But, I mean, I wasn't particularly, you know, into that. I was much more into the works of Barbara Mosiniak, Barbara Antlow, and all those guys. And, you know, then I went on to having, you know, publishers and editors and various people that were all part of those teams of the people I'd worked for. But it's also the action, you know. The action is that my thought matches my word, matches my deed. I live spirituality. You know, not many have left 15 homes across the globe and so on. Now, I'm not recommending that every listener gives up everything immediately, but as is explained in my second book, Buddha Speaks to the Buddha Nature Within, it's not about not enjoying what we have, but it's about letting go of the clinging. So when the thoughts, people, ideas, places, material goods, whatever it is, when it's time to let them go, because this is the time of letting go. Unless we empty, we can't receive the new fifth dimensional frequencies and beyond. And ultimately, it's not even about dimensions.
There's such a simplifying. I agree with you. A letting go, just even old thoughts or ideas or roles or
concepts.
Things. You know, I think it's concepts. Yeah. I think it's different for. And talk a little bit about that, how humanity must release and detach. You talked to move into that higher frequency level.
Well,
why is that?
You know, it's
so
the clinging
important.
that causes the pain. So if somebody passes over, of course it's sad. Mm. I've just lost my best friend in America and one of my closest friends in England, because I tend to sometimes have friends that are much older than me. But they're with me, and they talk to me from the other side, and it's all oneness. Mm. And death isn't death, it's just change. And of course it's sad when relationships come to an end, and when, you know, when I had to give up this, that, and the other, and I didn't have to give it up. In my case, I very often consciously choose this zero-point energy. I consciously choose to go to nothingness, because from many lifetimes in the past where I have been enlightened, I have recall on how wise that energy is, and that, okay, I may not have the so-called security that the mind hankers for, and we are taught to chase, but that is an illusion anyways, and there is moment-to-moment magic and mystery, and the truth is that the books couldn't have been channeled if I hadn't emptied to receive, you know?
Mm.
And people will say, well, that's so illogical, because this is a funny business to be in. Well, as far as I'm concerned, this isn't a business, you know? It's completely philanthropic work, and out of that, as I give my all to the universe, of course the universe will support me, you know, because we're not our bodies, we're not our material, we're not any of the things we think we are, and within that, the dichotomy is that we can enjoy all of it if we realize that at the core, that is not who we be. Who we be is all that is, and within that, nothingness energy.
Mm.
Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely.
How do you feel
absolutely.
About the nothingness energy, Michelle?
I actually love it.
I'm sure it could scare some of our listeners, but truly, truly, as we go into that fear and jump into the unknown, there is so much magic and mystery beyond our comfort zone.
There is. And I think sometimes the resistance to it, when you finally let go, it's even deeper. And it's cosmic womb. You are held in this container, this space. Yeah, and it's...
That's lovely. That's exactly right. And that's so well explained in The Divine Mother Speaks. So these books, you know, they have the energy behind the words to help people. And when I do a radio show, I don't decide what I'm going to say, and I don't attempt to answer questions intellectually. I just create a totally empty space in which... the Divine Mother, Father, whatever energies of love work through me for the answer. So the radio shows and the books, and I hope the film, except I'm not so in charge of the film, will, you know, contain the energy behind the words. So that's why we've just been selected on my own radio show, 2013 and beyond, on Block Talk Radio. So, you know, because that energy is being felt by people. And as each of us now speak from our heart energy and from that energy rather than just the intellectual understanding, we will really begin to move through and start manifesting heaven on earth more and more.
Mm. And that's what it is. Now this is interesting because we've been talking a lot about, as you know, there's so many relationship changes right now. You know, you touched on concept of relationship and knowing that you're in relationship to everything and everyone. We have a question because I have heard this quite a bit. As people are extending out more, they might require more, and I don't necessarily say physical space, but psychic space. So we have profundity in the chat is saying, my wife of 20 years is 12 years younger than me and feels that I no longer love her because I don't cling. I don't show jealousy. That seems to be a shift right now where a lot of people are releasing that jealousy. There's more connectedness but more openness in relationship. Do you have any understanding of that to share with us?
Well, relationship is ultimately an illusion, really, within the absolute reality. In absolute reality, there is just the one unified field that has become the many. And so we have to re-understand that, whether we do that experientially, whether we have an aha moment, whether we have an epiphany or we get it through some healing session. Everybody has to understand this nothingness energy, this oneness energy that exists beyond the individuals. So then within that, we can enjoy the play of the so-called relationship. But at the center, there is no subjects and objects, so there is no relationships.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the whole romantic conditioned idea of, you know, somebody out there is going to love me and validate me, that just is not working and is not going to work more and more as we intensify into these energies of newness, because we can't go into the new frequency with this, you know, lean, you know, as Babaji says, don't lean on the borrowed staff of another. That doesn't mean you can't have help in the short term. But in the long term, one has to come to one's own self-love, self-responsibility, self-validation, etc. Then we can love others and validate others and honor others. But if we don't love ourselves, as Osho says, you know, two needy people, you know, each desperately looking for love from the other, it lands up being a holy mess in the short, medium to long term, you know, which is, generally speaking, most relationships.
Yeah, and it's interesting that it's that play of consciousness that we were playing out, the extreme polarity that, you know, the mental construct people are having to release, you know, interesting, if you want to call it experiment or experience, but the truth of going back into the collective, and what is the Aquarian age, that group consciousness that, you know, through that pranic life force energy, that subtle energy, the etheric plane, we are all connected. There is no separation. What can help people, let's say, on a practical level with that? Because I'm even finding that in certain relationships, you know, I'm hearing about with my clients and such, one may be shifting or opening to the more expanded frequencies than another, and the person can feel it. There's again, connection, there's bond, there's a bond. But with that less, with more space, there's less judgment, and it can be interpreted as our listeners putting in the chat of, you don't care, you know.
Well, most relationships are going through massive change, and many of us are going through one relationship after another, and most of us, particularly in the last year, have had to begin to really empty. So things are ending and ending and ending. I don't know if that resonates with you, but that's what I'm observing in my own, even in my own life, where I, you know, have it pretty simple and pretty down to the bone of nothingness. I still find so many of the, you know, my closest spiritual relationships, and ultimately, guys out there, everything is spiritual. So this whole demarcation between this is spiritual, this is my mundane, this is my material life, that isn't going to work anymore either in this new energy. And all three books very much cover that. So, you know, we need a little bit of help here and there, but the energy is so with us, within us. It's all within us, and we can have little triggers on the outside from powerful books like these three that I've channeled, which have the energy behind the words and the living light energy of the ascended ones, as we become the ascended ones ourselves. And this is what the divine plan is this time, for 7 billion to wake up to unity consciousness, Christ consciousness, oneness, and go beyond that into being our multidimensional selves as we wake up now into this goddess energy, this divine feminine energy, which is allowing, being, emptying, receiving, creating, but consciously creating from choice points based on this, you know, connection to heaven and earth. Not just being up there in spacey with the spirituality, and at the same time not just being in the rat race, because the rat race isn't going to work anymore either. It's all destructing as we speak, which is why Shiva Speaks is such an important book right now, because the Shiva energy destroys that which is of the lower self to bring in the new order of the golden time.
Beautiful. Rashmi, we have a caller, 267-586. Hi, welcome to
Hello,
the program.
Hello, Michelle. Very nice to hear you guys. It's a beautiful show as usual.
Thank you.
A question. Hi.
Is this Todd?
What an honor to have you on the show. Yes, this is Todd.
Thanks. Okay. Go
very
on.
Good. I really enjoy the show. Perfect timing, too, because I was thinking about very much what you were saying about the void, the polarity of the other, you know, full of liveness. In meditation, do you speak of the void as in when everything is at rest and we need to go as humans, as spirits, going in and out of that to kind of balance in this reality per se. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. Well, you know, as you move around in your day-to-day life as well, you can just have that slight, focus, or knowingness is a better word, in that nothingness energy, that ultimately nobody is doing anything, nobody was born, nobody died, nobody can be burnt, and nobody can be wetted. That is what the Vedas
right.
teach us, and the sages through the eons in India and all across the globe understood that. And when we meditate, we all go into that same energy, you know? And so we don't have to, you know, space out and just pass out or never speak.
Mm.
You can still speak, you can do, you can whatever. But it's that I am doing, that ego energy that causes all the suffering, you know. Because ultimately nobody wrote these books, nobody made the film show,
mm-hmm.
nobody's teaching and helping shift people across the globe. And even when people say to me, oh, you're an amazing healer, I say, you are speaking of yourself. I'm just a mirror, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if they say you're a charlatan, I say once again, you know. You're describing
yeah.
yourself. So, you know, but that can only come, and the deepest healings happen when we go into that nothingness space. So I feel that you very much are in that space.
So
how do you pronounce your name? Todd?
Todd, yes. Todd.
Yeah, Todd. So, you know, I really feel that feminine energy within you. And as men begin to re-embody this energy, which is already
mm-hmm.
within them, it actually makes you guys so much stronger rather than weaker. And women really need to learn this lesson as well, because in
mm-hmm.
current recent time, women have been more masculine than the men.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely more out there.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful balance, and I think nowadays, you know, this, you know, dimension, it definitely calls for it. And that's why, you know, I just found it very fascinating how, you know, you brought that whole, you know, dark, that whole, like, void. Like, you know, I've always found that fascinating after having studied myself and, you know, learning of the esoteric knowledge and all these kind of things, learning after so many philosophers and mainly people, Pihal and all these other individuals. And I have followed Donald Walsh, and I actually look forward to hearing your stuff, your books as well. And it's fascinating because, you know, for the most part, people assume the whole void and the darkness as being something completely negative, but it's actually it's a means of time out and rest from such chaotic, energetic
mm-hmm.
Storm at times, you know. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And also, it is the bedrock of existence. So when you connect to that cosmic plug,
right.
you recharge. You rejuvenate. As Osho says, unless you meditate,
mm-hmm.
you don't build that energy of self-love within you.
Mm-hmm.
Once you meditate, it
no.
overflows. Then you want to go into the world and you want to give somebody love, share love, receive love. But
mm-hmm.
And then so just meditating can also be a cop-out. A lot of spiritual people, you know, like, you know, one of my greatest friends is Leonard Orr, and he's one of the fathers of the New Age, and I've worked on him with Divine Mother Healing. He's one of the great shepherds that I had to work on his healing process, and he teaches energy pollution. Now, you know, I totally understand and teach, you know, protection and groundedness and so on, but ultimately
but
in this new energy, there is nothing to protect, you know, you know. And all this energy pollution, you know, to be spiritually elitist is just really not going to cut stick anymore. The Divine Mother speaks, the healing of the human heart has a lot of this void, nothingness energy, as does the Shiva book,
yeah.
as actually does the Buddha book as well, all in different, you know, frequencies of those energies. And as you beautifully just shared, you know, people are so scared of that divine mystery. But
mm-hmm.
ultimately, no matter how many radio shows we do and how many books we do and whatever, everything is divine mystery. The truth is there is the known, the unknown, and the unknowable. And the unknowable is the unknowable. That is divine mystery. That's why I've been a pioneer of ancient mystery schools, you know? Because it'll always be a mystery.
And you know, it's the negative space. We need the negative and the positive. I mean, those two aspects, right? The electrical, the magnetic. But some of that was down the road. That was a little doing with certain groups that you know, the Negrita, the was black, you know, the black virgin coming from, you know, meaning not tainted was, because that's the key. And that's why in the mystery schools or the Kabbalah, you know, or the Christian mystery schools, the Vedas, when you get into the deeper esoteric wisdom, it is about the unknowable. It is about the mystery that can only be felt and lived out, which is the blackness, the darkness, the unknown. It's the negrita. Mm-hmm.
It's not essentially blackness. It's like this black hole energy. As the quantum physicists
right,
say, you know,
black
everything
hole
is
energy, but
99.9%. It is nothingness.
Yeah.
You know that.
But
what happened was
what happened though is a lot of the doctrines were changed and religions later to support that if something's black or dark or unknown, then it's bad or scary.
Yeah.
And that's really, I get your take on this, but that's where we're getting the empowering and the up-leveling, the ascension from, is the coming back
Perfect.
Into that part, right? Because that's the key. If you don't have that or use that, which any great magician knows or shaman, if you can't be comfortable in that, resting in the void, you don't have, you know, half your power or empowerment is gone. Your amp,
and many
your
people
wattage
have
is
that
gone.
Inability to, and many people have that inability to go into that. And that's, I think it's also because of that whole, like, we've been taught that that's not good. We shouldn't
that's
be
true.
There.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's, it's a shame. It's sad. And that's why I definitely was commenting in there. I'm like, it's amazing how people are responding to your books and are saying that they're like, your books are actually well accepted in New York. And I mean, that's a pretty mecca of the, you know, of this, you know, the earth at the moment. But, you know, that's right there just shows that people are ready to take on and, you know, embrace what we are entitled to.
You've come across them, have you?
Across whom?
The books.
The books, yeah.
No, this is actually the first time I've heard of. Of your works, and I actually look forward to it. I mean, I'm actually very excited too.
So this actually brings us, you know, to the connection between what we were discussing earlier about letting go. So as we let go of all the things that don't serve us, we do become empty. And when the womb is empty, the baby can be born, a new baby can be born. So to create a new fifth dimensional baby, or call it what you will, you have to empty to receive that. And in Egyptian mystery school, we call that the Nephthys energy. In the Divine Mother Speaks, the Healing of the Human Heart, there's a whole chapter on the archetypal energy. So if you want money in your life, you bring in the energy of earth, 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 and you ground yourself. If you want the energy of the void, emptying to receive, you bring in the Nephthys energy. And you can change this to any other, you know, pantheon. You can change it to Celtic or Hindu or whatever is comfortable. And the sacred elements, the understanding.
So, are you saying working with the archetype? It's just learning how to work with that archetypal energy.
That archetypal energy is within each and every one of us. So, you know, purification with the five sacred elements, earth, water, fire, ether, and understanding that what is manifest reality. So understanding, number one, it comes from the unmanifest to the manifest. Two, you know, within the manifest, what are the laws of the manifest? Well, they have building blocks. It's electromagnetic energy, as you were saying earlier, positive and negative. So you have the feminine polarity and the masculine polarity. You have the electrical energy, which is the light, and the emotional energy, which is the magnetic energy, you know. And then you have the female component, which is the allowing, receiving, emptying. And you have the male component, which is the manifesting, thrusting, making happen, the dance between Shiva and Shakti. So, you know, a tiny little book like The Divine Mother Speaks covers all of this. And as you read it, you just re-remember that which you already know. You begin to connect to your breath. Mm-hmm. When you breathe deeply, you can also go into these spaces of nothingness. And once you go into those spaces, then that's where the magic. From there, you can recreate any new pattern you want easily. Mm.
And at some point, I'm sensing this is going to become more mainstream, because, like you say, it is in everyone. It's just that remembering, that triggering or remembering. Rashmi, which book would you say, I know Shiva Speaks is your latest, but is there a book that you think people need to start with, or should they just use their own intuition to see what they're drawn to?
I think people will be drawn to whichever energy suits them best at the moment. But I would say that The Divine Mother Speaks, The Healing of the Human Heart, is an extremely extremely powerful, simple. You know, when you get the books, they're so tiny and small, you think, what is this? This can't be real, you know. But you can just pick a page at a time and just ask a question and you'll receive the answer if you want to be heartfelt. And that heart energy, the divine feminine energy, is the most prevalent energy right now. And the Shiva book is just really important as well, because this change is so big now, and this energy of destruction. Mm-hmm. So many people are feeling like, you know, why me? The truth is everybody's going through it, you know. And so we need to stop regurgitating our stories and dramas, because everybody's got a big story and drama. And so we can just be compassionate, a bit patient, take some deep breaths and, you know, calm down and try and reshift and heal our frequency so that then we can be of help to others. But otherwise, you know, as I work with the leaders and the healers and the teachers on the planet, I find many of them are too busy, you know, going out there and serving and not spending enough time going within, being quiet, being
themselves.
Silent. And you know, through that silence, healing happens immediately. You don't even have to go to a healer, actually. Though if you do, that's
absolutely
totally cool, you know?
Yeah, I was, Sherwood, I was facilitating a workshop a couple of weeks ago, and people were saying, oh, what is going on with everybody? What's going on in relationship? What's going on with people? And I stopped and I looked, they're feeling the same energetic shifts that you are, that we all are. They just don't know, and they don't have the tools. You know, it's the wake up, the awakening, the converging flow aspect. It's happening to so many, you know, collectively.
To everyone.
And the best way we can serve
people is through our frequency, you know. Like once we heal ourselves, then that is going to help people much more than if we're going out there trying to fix X, Y, Z, and zilch, you know. That won't work as well.
Yeah, I would say it's an inside job. If your consciousness isn't really there, no matter what you're doing right externally, right, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the consciousness isn't there.
Exactly. So when you meet great beings, you know, they have a very calm energy. There's almost like there's nothing in there. And yet within that nothingness, everything is possible. Everything is there, and that deep love comes through. So as they say, you know, wisdom teaches me that I am nothing, and love teaches me that I am everything. And both are true together. And Babaji teaches truth, simplicity, and love. So, you know, the simplicity is so important, which brings us back to the letting go and coming to this void energy from within which, you know, we can become, you know, I'm an artist and a shaman and a this and a that, and ultimately I'm none of it. You know, at the core, it's ridiculous for me to think I'm any of it. I'm the eternal soul energy that becomes a producer, director, actor, screen of the movies and dramas of my life and the movies and dramas of my lifetimes. And the energy just always continues. But at the core, it's total silence.
Yeah. Which I find, you know, as we're connecting to this new emerging consciousness, or this expanded play of consciousness, if you will, that it really is, for many it's already happening, but I feel like as it's even more mainstream, really going to free people up, because just as you stated, you're at the core, there's the nothingness, that continual emerging. So all these roles are just things to do, or ways to share the, you know, the divine play, or the soul expressing itself. I feel it's going to really free up people to be able to do more than one thing, or see themselves differently instead of...
Well, we're multidimensional, and similarly, even on heaven on earth, we are going to be multi-creative.
Yeah.
So we're going to... This is a Mayan glyph now of conscious co-creation as opposed to reactive competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're moving to cooperation as opposed to competition, and we're moving to conscious choice points. And that is going to happen for everybody. But a few of us have to first wake up fully. And as the few wake up fully, the 100 monkey syndrome will happen. And morphogenically, we will carry everybody with us. So people ask me, you know, what do you do across the globe? Well, the biggest thing I do is I don't do, I be. I allow myself to sit in Holland Park with the peacocks. And I allow myself yourself to send morphogenic energy across the globe, ultimately that's not a doing thing. That's a frequency of being thing. And as a few of us do this more strongly, Babaji says you will take the fire of this new energy that will spread across the globe. Because it took just one Jesus, it took just one Buddha, it took just one Mahatma Gandhi to shift consciousness forever. And it's the same thing. You know, my mother jokes with me and she says, my mother says, you know, why do you, she lives in New Delhi, and she says, why do you keep leaving the kingdom of your homes and security and so many beautiful relationships and things to live this tough life in hotels, etc. She says, who do you think you are? Jesus couldn't do it. Buddha couldn't do it. You know, are you Florence Nightingale? It's quite funny, really. But the truth is that, you know, some of us are guided to do what we're doing. And, I mean, for me, until... as a bodhisattva on the planet, as a Melchizedekian being on the planet, and ultimately I'm none of those things, by the way, but within manifest reality, you know, I will not rest until I feel the ending of suffering on this planet, whoever that might be, including you know, the so-called enemy. The enemy isn't the enemy,
right.
Ultimately.
No. Rashmi, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being on Awakenings Radio. I so appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to share with us. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Take care. Many blessings.
Blessings. And that was Rashmi Kilrani, internationally known healer, teacher, and lecturer and author. Her latest book is Shiva Speaks, Conversations with Maha Avatar Babaji. You can find out more information by going to rashmikilnani.com or reiki-energy-mastery.com. As always, wonderful listener participants, thank you so much for being a part of Awakenings Radio and making it such a wonderful, giving, sharing, and insightful community. You make the program. It's all about you. If you have any guest suggestions, topics, any email questions that you would like discussed on air, please email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com or awakenings@selfandlight.com. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.